Gee, I hope you like Origin, because there's a lot of it on the catch-up, and rightly so. The Maroons are snatching victory from the jaws of defeat, my friends.
Huge. So, and we had so many people on to talk about it. Wayne Bennett, of all people, Corey Parker, Gordy Tallis. We completely covered it today. Excellent work from all of our producers, grabbing folks and them coming on and giving us their time.
If there's any doubt, the New South Wales loss was caused by Jared Hayne. You'll find that's a recurring theme.
Yeah, it was a recurring theme. And there is, maybe however slight, a chance that Sam Thaiday can come back. That's the other thing I've taken from today.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair call. So enjoy the catch-up, and we'll catch you soon, Ease.
Marto, Ed and Robin, Brisbane's second best way to drive to work. The best way is in a new car from Old Mac Mazda, Cleveland and Springwood. Their end of financial year sale finishes June 30. Now on
everyone loves Tallis.
A huge night of Origin, and well, he was on the Triple M jet. He was hanging out with Marto, Robin, and our listeners. And how are you feeling now, Gordy? How are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling a little bit relieved, actually. You know, it was a fair bit of pressure on this rugby league side to come down here and do what they did. But what a night, what a game. And I don't know how they keep on doing it. We were gone at half time, and just how they just keep on digging deep for each other and working and to keep 85, oh, well, there's probably 79,000 New South Wales fans quiet. Quiet in the last 5 minutes is hard to do.
Father of the year, Gordon Tallis, your two beautiful boys were with you last night, mate. What a good night to take them. What was the turning point?
Oh, mate, I thought there were so many. You know, our kicking game started to work. We started to get in field. You know, we started getting a bit of field possession, and then when Gay guy, like, he went up for that ball and it bounced and we got trapped in the in goal with, and they got all the momentum back, but then we're just able to, every time they were getting it back, we just, you know, we sort of hung in there. It was just a true gritty night, and I was, you know, and I'm going to name drop, but I was standing with Wally and Fatty and all the guys that had been there in the past in the dressing room after the game, and we were talking about it, and like, we just don't know how this team keeps on doing it and just, you know, just overcoming the obstacles, you know, and all the odds. And it was a great win. It was just, you know, but I'm looking forward to game three and, you know, and Jonathan Thurston, I've never seen a guy with more, you know, strapping on him after the game. So they were beaten up, they were bruised, the Queenslanders, but, you know, bring on game three, I reckon.
Hey, Gordy, I never realised until I actually watched you last night, you ride that game. Like, you physically react to whatever you were watching. Like, I was caught between watching what was happening on the field and watching you, because you were, like, up and down and, you know, twitching, and it was so full on. You really feel it, don't you?
Well, I'm a fan. So when I was 7, the first game was played. Until I played my own game at 20, I was a fan. So for 13 years, I was a fan. And then when I retired from it at 30, I you know, for the next 14-odd years, I've sat there like every other Queenslander, like everybody else. I get nervous. I get disappointed in the decisions and when we lose. And I suppose that's what Origin does. That's why it's, you know, it's this beast that just keeps on getting bigger and better.
Hey, Gordy, I was looking before about turning points. If Jared Hayne scores that try or he passes to Brett Morris, we don't win, do we?
No, it would look. It was going to be hard. And I don't know why, but, you know, he's a big guy but that's just Queensland. You know, it's a slippery night, and the more chances you pass it, the more time someone's going to drop the ball. But I thought he should have passed. I was right over in the far left corner, Marto. But mate, there were so many opportunities. And that's what it is, you know. Like, mate, all the experts for, you know, 37 years have had something to say about sportsmen and, you know, oh, we're going to do this or they're going to do that. But those 34 guys that go out there and do what they do to put that on is unbelievable, you know. And then you're going to make mistakes because of the pressure you're under and the fatigue. Mm. When I say pressure, it's just the fatigue that you're under to make decisions when you're really tired. And, you know, you're not going to make all the right ones, but when you don't make it, make sure you don't make it again and, you know, support your mate. And they've been doing it for so long. And that's both states, you know. Yeah. But I'm just happy that Queensland did it a little bit better last night.
Hey, Gordy, can we bring back Sam Thaiday? That's my personal campaign.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Well, I want him to have his 30.
Oh, he's 30.
He becomes a statesman of Origin.
Don't, We don't change your winning formula, Robin.
Oh, Glasby wasn't very good, mate.
Well, I'll tell you what. Do you know what? Sam Saito's got 2 weeks to rip in for the Broncos and have two unbelievable games, and we know that he can do it. So if Sam Saito wants to get back in there, Sam Saito plays the way we all know Sam can, I'm sure the selectors will have headaches, and he'd be right at the forefront of their mind.
Gordon, I'll give you a worry. Wayne Bennett said exactly the same thing. You and him are thinking the same way these days.
Wow. You know, great. Listen, Marto, great minds think alike.
Mm. All right, Gordy. Thanks, mate. Thanks for your time this morning. Big weekend.
It's a pleasure, guys.
Good day to be supporting Queensland. Good on you, Gord.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Enjoyed. I enjoyed yesterday too, Robin. You talk too much on planes.
Hold on. Can we just give you a quick wrap? Gordy took the trolley down the middle of the plane yesterday on the Triple M jet and collected everyone's rubbish. That made their lives.
You and Corey Parker. Yes. And if you want to see the photos, they're up on our Triple M Facebook page. You're a legend, Gordy. We'll talk to you soon.
Cheers, guys.
Last night, though, safe to say the coverage. Look, the coverage is New South Wales coverage. They stick Wally Lewis out on the extremities. Yeah. I said to Tiff, who's that way out on the end? And she had to squint because he's actually in the dark. They actually put Wally Lewis in the dark.
They do, don't they? And they didn't even let Darren Lockyer speak there at the start, although that might sometimes be a good thing. But, geez, they gave some coverage to Gus and Beasting Face and the Pill
who's
Head.
Who's Beasting
and,
Face?
Oh, what? Gus Gould. Oh. All those New South Wales people. And even Sterlo got caught up in all the excitement before the game. Did you hear it? You may as well give it up, don't you reckon?
Yeah, listen to this.
Wait, is finally over in a couple of ways, James, New South Wales. Just let's get into it.
This is our home backyard. We're here in Sydney. It's a huge night for the state, and we've got to turn around the last 10 years of misery and get going on a dynasty of our own. I think it starts tonight. I really love this side.
Shut up, dynasty. Queensland had four debutants, and everyone was worried about how they were going to go, what was going to happen, were they going to be up to it. And Darren Lockyer didn't help at the start of the coverage when he didn't know Tim Glasby's name.
Valentine Holmes and Tim Glasby played in a grand final here last year.
Isn't he one of the selectors? Didn't he actually?
Yeah. Well, I think that was a Cam Smith selection.
Yes. Oh. I think we might have found out in that moment how much
he didn't vote for him.
Mr. Lockyer had to do with Tim Glasby's inclusion.
Now, is he getting confused between Gonski and Glabski? Glabski report?
It's easy to do. And
Glabski file.
Glabski, yes, give it to me. The talk today will be around, and it's all the Fox Sports, etc., and other radio stations will be about how the Blues didn't attack Jonathan Thurston's clearly injured shoulders. What did it look like in the stadium? How bad did he? Was he limping? You know how he sort of grabs his arm sometimes? Could you see it from where you guys were?
He made a tackle, must have been about the 20th minute, and he just flicked his arm. That was the right arm. That was what I was talking about before. Robin made the point you miss out on so much if you go into the game.
I really struggled to know what was going on because, you know, I don't know who the people are. Yeah. I can see the headgear and I go, ooh. Okay, and then I think I don't know the rest of you, and so not having, and I didn't bring headphones to listen to commentary, so I was a little confused.
He still made some tackles though, didn't he?
Yeah, he was still tackling, they were. Well, this is Joey, this is Andrew Johns after the game describing New South Wales' inability to attack him during the second half.
So I think it's the dumbest half of football New South Wales have played. Yeah. They had all the running, their game plan was perfect. Jonathan Thurston, his shoulder is stuffed.
Yeah.
There's your game plan. You just go at him all night. I couldn't believe what I was watching. So they had all the running and they invited Queensland back in. They stopped playing. Then they went back to this out-the-back rubbish block plays and they just were no threat.
So that's the dumbest half of football New South Wales ever played. I mean, there's a discussion for another day. I mean,
that's a top 10 rather than just a grand final.
Do you know what made me laugh, though? As we were leaving the stadium and, you know, there's 85,000 people, of which about 3,000 to Queenslanders. Mm. But the amount of talk from the New South Welshmen of going things like, oh, well, they just did that so that we can have the decider. It's actually, that was all planned. I heard that so many times. And I'm like, were you just watching that game? Because I'm sure that New South Wales didn't go, okay, you win.
I almost felt sorry for them. Hey, did the commentators mention that Jared Hayne when he got bundled into touches? Did they mention that as a turning point?
They weren't going on about it as much as they would have if it was a Queenslander. It was,
he is just a gift. Thank you to the 49ers for returning him to Queensland Rugby League.
You'd have to say that Jared Haynes' self-interest was certainly helpful. Here is Gus post-match.
Well, it'll be a test of their manhood now, because that's a game that they had well in control at halftime. They've got to man up now and say, OK, we blew that. We now know what Origin's all about. To win a decider at Suncorp Stadium is the biggest challenge for any New South Wales group ever. Hasn't been done too many times.
And we now know what Origin's all about. What did they think it was before? What were the impression they were under before that moment?
Did you watch their playmakers compared to Cam Smith? How calm? Did that come across on the telly? How calm he was? Everything. When they came together, there was a moment they came together there near the end when they plotted that last try virtually. Cam Smith, Cooper Cronk and Thursday had a chat. Everyone went to their positions. Whereas all the playmakers, you wouldn't have seen it on telly, they were throwing arms around.
They were like chooks. They really were like headless chooks. I got that too.
That's what lost them the game.
All the big issues. Ooh, that's a hammering tackle. All the big moments.
Try for Queensland.
The voice of rugby league. Rabs Warren.
Gallows Pies, you've done absolutely beautifully, Sean.
No, oh, he had a huge game last night. He had a wonderful call for Channel 9, well balanced, etc. Rabs is on the line now. Morning, Rabsy.
Morning, Sterlo. Morning, Bossy. Fat Man, Yvonne and Sterlo. Morning to you all.
What are your thoughts on the game, Rabs?
Dead set, Bossy. Look, I'm an impartial observer, but I really hate Queensland. I mean, dead set. Why do they just give up when they're behind? I mean, it's ridiculous. We think we've got them in the bag. I'm already planning a lovely day or a night out with the boys. And then JT, he's got no shoulders, with a little six-year-old's headgear, bobs up and wins the game. What a selfish bastard.
Well, let's talk the Blues. Did you go out and have a big night with them after the game, the Blues team?
No, we've won. After the game, we just had a quiet round of beers. Then we snuggled up in bed, little Teddy Tedesco, me and Big Aaron Wood, with some double choc magnums, and we watched The Notebook and we cried into each other's arms.
Really?
No way, Vossie. Absolutely not. After a heartbreaker like that, we went out and we sank Jaeger bombs and we played nude tickles in the Star City Fountain, and I'm still there now. What a night. Leave it alone, Dugan. You know I don't like the ribs.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun, Rabs.
Shut up, Sterlo. I'm still on a high. I tell you something. Me, Josh Dugan, and awful Blake Ferguson, we all got new tattoos. We walked into the tattoo store, which was run by some lovely bikies that the guys knew. We wandered in there, we stripped completely nude, and we said, where have you got left on our bodies to give us some ink? And we got some wow tattoos. Wow tattoos, if you catch my drift.
I'll tell you something
about a big night of on. Nobody kisses like Mitchell Pearce, and nobody headbutts like David Clemmer. It's hilarious.
Are you excited for Game 3, Rabs?
I tell you something. I think the Jaeger might have worn off, Yvonne, because no, I'm not.
Oh.
I can't take it anymore. No. Mate, I'm going to take a long walk with a hot Gallows Pie this morning because they are my favourite pie. And just think about life. I was on the bus to the Jaeger bomb party last night, and I put an arm around young Sterlo, who was crying. And I said, Sterlo, I think it's time. I think it's time that you and I just got a Gallows Pie warmer, got a little cabin in the country, and called it quits.
Righto. You were going so well there for a while.
We're on making moonshine and eating Gallows Pies, because I can't take it anymore, Sterlo. Dead set.
Okay.
I got to go.
Righto.
That's See the dream, Rabby.
Now, the Origin obviously is the big story of the day, and someone who's happy about that is probably Paul Pasali, the now former mayor of Ipswich, because it's taken him off the front pages. But, Robin, let's not forget that this is still a massive investigation that's taking place, and every day, Robin, the details get more and more murky. And they get more
sorted.
And more
There's so many twists and turns and stuff that you just cannot expect. So we have Joel Dry, who is following the story for Channel 9 News. Hey, Joel.
Good morning.
Okay. Well, you got Where it right yesterday, here? Joel, with the brown tracksuit.
Yes, the old prison browns. It's never a good look, is it? But unfortunately, that's what he had to don, and was sat in the defendant's dock of the magistrate's court for about 45 minutes yesterday as his matter was dealt with by a magistrate. Interestingly, the matter was interjected by two other issues. There were some video hookups with some other prisoners in prison who had to have their matter dealt with. So Paul Basali had to sit there and listen to a charge about a gentleman who didn't dispose correctly of a syringe and a couple of other charges. So it was an interesting interlude to his matter. But it really did extend the embarrassment, I suppose, for the former mayor as he had to sit there with a packed courtroom. As you can imagine, a lot of journalists very interested in this. And eventually he was given bail on his three charges, the one of extortion and two other charges. And then he was eventually let out of the watch house to, again, a very big waiting media contingent. And as he is known to do, he had a few words to say. Basically said he's always fought for justice and he's fought for Ipswich. He intends to continue to do that and he will fight these charges, but he does have a very big fight on his hands.
Joel, he's sounding more and more like Sir Joe every day.
Yeah, it was a very interesting Paul Pasali. We're all used to very colourful and jovial Paul. He wasn't quite his normal self. He was clearly dishevelled, clearly sort of dejected after spending a night in the watch house. You can only imagine what that's like.
Yes.
But, yeah, he wasn't his normal self.
I know what it's like.
But he has vowed that he's going to fight these charges. Now, there's a lot of detail that was sort of led in court. We can't talk about that for legal reasons. The magistrates saw fit to impose a suppression order over much of it for reasons that we aren't exactly sure. There is a number of media organisations who are getting together today who are attempting to launch an appeal on that suppression. So that will happen at about 9 o'clock today. But yeah, a lot of murkiness surrounding this story and probably still more yet to come out.
There was some conjecture, I think, in the Courier Mail that he, after he resigned, that he may have tried to come back. And then that, of course, was before he's been charged and now in the watch
house. Well, come back as mayor.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Have you heard that, Joel?
I've heard rumblings, not the direct source from that. I did have a chat with someone within council yesterday that thought that may have been the case. They hadn't specifically talked to Paul Pasali about that. But knowing his character and knowing that he has come back from legal adversity a number of times before, he probably thinks he is in some ways a little bit untouchable and was plotting his return. Gosh. Given I've also been told that there could potentially be more charges to come out of this and other investigations, it would be a huge surprise if we ever see him back in public office. I think, first of all, he has to make sure that he remains, you know, free and innocent before he thinks about what he's going to do long term.
Joel, we drove past the watch house yesterday just after 9 o'clock. We saw all you guys waiting out the front. Did anyone hang around long enough? Was any one journalist good enough to see who else was in there with Paul Pasali? Like, what manner of gentleman was he rooming the night with?
There were some very confused and bewildered people, supporters that had come to collect loved ones from the watch house, just thinking they'd sneak around the back of the building out of sight, out of mind. They turned the corner and they're confronted with probably 20 cameras and 25 journalists and thought, I hope they're not here for me.
No, you never want them there for you. Joel Dry from Channel 9 News. We'll see the latest on the Paul Pasali stuff on Channel 9 News today. Thanks, mate.
Good on you guys.
Well, when they coined the term super coach, it was about Wayne Bennett. He went from the police academy to coaching South, to coaching Brothers, to coaching the Raiders, to coaching the Broncos, to coaching St George, to coaching the Knights, to coaching the Broncos. He coached Queensland, he coached Australia, he's coached England. He coaches everyone, and he always wins. He's an amazing man. Doesn't talk much, but on Monday, next Monday, from lunchtime, there's an enormous lunch, and he's going to be discussing the Broncos, England, leadership and building team culture, of which he knows everything. I'm talking about Wayne Bennett. And if you want to go to the lunch, you need to go to dcurl@briancurlbasketball.com or simply ring us and I'll point you in the right direction, because it will be one lunch not to miss. Can I introduce to everyone Wayne Bennett, back on Triple M. Hello, mate.
Morning. That's quite a mouthful you went through there.
I know, yeah, mate. You know I love you.
Right, the intro. Pat, what did you think of the game last night?
Yeah, it was a really good game of football. I really enjoyed it. Thought it was a contest between two teams that were giving their best. It was good to watch.
Wayne, where did you watch the game?
At home, where I enjoyed it most of all.
By yourself?
Nobody telling me what's going on or asking me what's happened there, because most of the time I don't have any idea either.
Mate, we were watching Gordy Taylor sitting not far from him, and he rode every moment of that second half, and you could tell that he knew the momentum of the game was changing. Now, you know the playmakers so well. The calmness that they show, could you tell the difference in the panic between the New South Wales team and our calmness as we brought that home?
Yeah, well, New South Wales were pretty calm too. They were much better than they have been, but, you know, it always gets down to the little things, and there was two or three little moments in that second half that was the difference. And one was, you know, when Graham shot out of the line, line that doesn't happen, and try number one doesn't happen, you know. And Jarryd Hayne, there's no excuses to why he didn't pass the ball to Morris.
God.
So it's about taking your chances, and Queensland just hang in there. They just keep, you know, all second half, they just kept playing it out, and that's what makes them so good.
And when, just talking about that Jarryd Hayne moment, let's say if you were coaching a player and they did that, if they didn't pass that ball, Wayne, do you have a word to them after the game, or do you wait, or what happens there?
Well, I think last night I'd have to say it after the game, just as they're leaving the field.
Yeah, right, as they're leaving the field.
Well, you know, he's too good of a player not to do what he did. Okay, yeah. If he's a young guy, just, you know, learn his trade and all that, that can happen. But that guy's a champion player. He made a very poor decision.
So, Wayne, what happens for game three? What do you reckon? And it is at Suncorp, obviously.
You know, I probably woke up this morning excited thinking about game three, because they've both been tremendous games. In New South Wales, it were probably, you know, overall last night may look the better team, but the bottom line is they weren't, because Queensland just wouldn't go away, and Queensland won't go away in game three. So they'll have to be beaten New South Wales, and that makes them really formidable, because they've certainly improved a lot. As I said, Queensland just don't give them the opportunities that they give us, and that makes a difference on a night like last night when it's so close and there's nothing between both teams.
Wayne, you showed Kevy a lot of his know-how on how to coach. You lived with him for a little while and played him a lot of country and western music when you were together at Newcastle. How much did you love that, mate? You didn't teach him how to be passionate. How much did you love seeing him at that win for him?
Yeah, no, I did. I sent him a text after the game.
Did he reply?
He saw what he was going through and how he was feeling. But, you know, it wasn't what they did in the second game. They should have done the first game. That was the team they picked in the second game was the difference for them. And it should have been done in the first game, but it wasn't. So, you know, they did change, which was good, and made some good decisions and got themselves a victory.
Wayne, if I said to you, I guess you've seen him this week down at training, Sam Thiaday, what do you reckon about maybe getting rid of Glasby or one of the bench players and giving Sam Thiaday one last game with his great mates Thursday, so he'll make his 30 games for Queensland for the third game?
Yeah, well, it sounds very sympathetic and nice, but Sam's future is in his own hands, and like, if he, next 2 weeks, he got Saturday night in Canberra and next Friday against the Storm. So I thought he probably had his best game 2 weeks ago, Sam, just before they picked Origin 2. As I said, they'll put him back on the team if he's playing well. There's no doubt about that, because he certainly brings something, but he just needs to play a little bit better than he has been.
All right, Wayne Bennett. Don't, mate, it's been too long, Wayne. What does it matter? How many years has it been since Wayne's last been on this
program? It's been 8 years since we had a chat, and I love you. Hey, listen, it's all about Monday, though.
Yeah.
Mate, you're helping out Curly, Brian Curl, with his lunch on Monday. Give us a ring here if you want the details, but otherwise it's Brian Curl. basketball.com. Have a look at that.
Yeah, I thought the great coach died and gone away. I hadn't heard from him for so long. I got a phone call. He says, I'm doing this for these kids. Can you come and give me a hand? I said, sure, no problems at all.
The two super coaches together.
Yeah, he's a great coach in his time. He's a great bloke still, and does a lot for a lot of people, so I didn't mind helping him out. It's a pleasure.
All right, Wayne Bennett, it's nice to speak to you soon. Thanks for your time.
Okay, guys. See you, boy.
Last night, Triple M coverage of State of Origin Game 2. This is how it wrapped up.
Yes! He goes to ground! Truly been the great escape. Queenslander! A game will be talked about for years.
The Maroons victorious 18-16, Marto.
Wendell, that was Wendell Iliac, Queenslander,
so
while wrapping things up.
Yeah, very good.
But listen, everyone else wants to have it.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone
else wants to let's go to Ray. Ray's from Redcliffe. Ray, you've got a confession to make first.
Yeah, mate. I was born in Penrith.
Okay.
And I am a Queenslander to the actual bone, mate, right through and through. Never have doubted Queensland. I've been back in Queensland since they started.
Well, you are the poster boy for interstate migration, Ray. How long did it take?
New South Wales.
And why do you hate them? I don't understand. What happened?
Why? Because, well, they just don't come up to the standards of, you know, I mean, it says it all. On the scoreboard, over the history of the game. I mean, we've won, not only had the eight straight, and then won 9 out of 10. Mm-hmm. It's just incredible the passion and the ability of the Queensland side and the people that get behind them.
Yeah.
You know, we turn up to every single game for them and all that sort of shit. You know, it's a lifestyle.
Yeah, good on you. Good on
it
you,
is
Ray.
A lifestyle. Being a Queenslander is a lifestyle.
It's a culture.
There you go. I love that. Hey, Nathan of the Sunny Coast. You're a Blues supporter. How are you feeling this morning?
Oh, just as normal as every other year. Hey, Rob.
Hey, mate. Mardo's been asking everyone who lost it for you. What do you reckon?
Oh, Jarryd Hayne out there, didn't he?
Correct.
licking balls out the end when it's not on. And well, I don't know why he didn't pass to Morris on the wing. That was the biggest game changer.
Nathan, You know exactly why he didn't pass to Morris, don't you?
Oh, he's just a bloody selfish bugger. He can win it or lose it, can't he?
That's a good way of putting it. He can win it or lose it, because fair play to him. In the first game, he was excellent. So that's fair, Nathan.
Nathan, how does your day go today? Were you a little bit smarmy yesterday before you left work with the Queenslanders who you work with?
No, I'm pretty quiet because I know what's always going to happen. You can't write them off. Like at 16 to 6?
Six. We were gone.
Six, yep. Oh, mate. Oh, not really, because I was ready to go to bed at any stage because I knew it was going to turn that quick. They always think they're on top, and then Queensland just turned around. They're a bit more calmer. And
calm is the right word. Calm is the right word, Nate. Yeah, well, okay. Thanks, mate. Thanks for the thoughts. Nathan.
There should be a graph, calmness related to real estate values. Like as the Sydney house prices go up, their calmness goes down.
Don't bring that up.
It's interesting, though, that I thought that because we're broadcasting from Sydney, because Marto and I were at the game last night, I thought that everyone here would just not want to talk about it. But they're okay. Like, I thought it would be a no-go zone that we would just have to pretend that, you know, we didn't exist.
They're conditioned.
Oh, they're used to it.
I walked past Mark Geyer and Matty Johns. They just shook their head. I'm wearing full maroon gear still.
You're still in your onesie. Did you change your undies?
Yeah, I have changed underpants.
Thank you.
That's
I'm glad to hear.
Oh, Dennis, sorry, have we got anyone else?
Dennis is here. Dennis is from Slacks Creek. Dennis, your thoughts?
Yeah, g'day, mate. I just wanted to say it was fitting end to our club. I'm from South Sunnybank Footy Club, where Johnny's played all his life.
Oh, we know it well.
Yeah, and we lost our founder of our club during the week, and we just thought it was fitting for him to kick the goal to win the match.
Oh, that's nice. Very what fitting. Was your founder's name, Dennis?
Jim Murdoch.
Jim Murdoch. He started the club. Well, it was a wonderful thing that he did because it's provided, some of the best players Queensland's ever had and a number of juniors. So that's great, Dennis.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Good on you, mate.
Well done, Sonny.
Well, it's going to be a big party for Game 3 if they get up as well.
It's all about – is Game 3 mostly about Thursday?
It's a farewell. It's Kronk and Thurston's farewell. Oh, and
the playmaker's decider.
Yep. Please, Billy, just one more year for you, Billy Slater, just to transition the team into the next group.
Paul from Ipswich. Are you out of the watch house, mate?
Mate. Yeah, I know. It was a brilliant game last night, wasn't it?
It was, my friend. And what were your thoughts?
Mate, honestly, you know, I like old mate from before that was born in Penrith. I was born in Bankstown in Sydney, and mate, I'm Queensland to the core.
Who was your man of the match last night? I know Josh Jackson did play well for the Blues. Who was your man of the match, Paul?
My man of the match from last night was either Billy Slater or Thurston. You can't go past them, but the passion that Billy Slater has, you heard it in the interview with Dobbo after the game. It's uncoachable, unteachable, unlearnable. What Thurston did is the same. It's uncoachable. Like, he had one arm, mate. He had one arm.
Yeah,
and he's still throwing the passes that need to be thrown. He's still making the tackles that need to be made. Look, they're legends. They're Queensland legends, and there's no other way to put it. New South Wales, they don't have the heart. They don't have the passion. And they don't have the drive to be able to play like Queensland do, and I don't think they ever will. Like, they're dead set losers. They got nothing. I know I'm gloating a little bit, mate, but you know it's a good day. It's a good day to be a Queenslander, mate.
Hey, Paul, how long after you left Bankstown and came up here did you go, I'm now a Queenslander? What was the period of time?
We moved up here, I think, when I was about 3 or 4, and I've been Queensland to the core ever since, mate.
Oh, God, yeah. God, yeah.
Okay. Mate.
Thanks for your call,
Paul. It's a good day, Paul.
You have a good day, mate. That's good stuff. Appreciate it.
Wherever you had your first beer as a senior player,
yeah,
that's what state you've got to play.
Oh, see, I do it because I was born in Sydney, but I didn't care about State of Origin until my kids were Queenslanders.
Oh, you're a Queenslander.
So I'm a Queenslander.
Yeah, gotcha.
That's just how it is.
and you would have heard some of our NRL insider Dobbo. You could last seen just standing around on the field interviewing people. Joins us now, of course, from the Drive Show, the Triple M Drive Show, the Luke Branham Show with Libby and Dobbo. I call it the Dobbo Show. Morning, Dobbo.
Yeah. Morning, all. How are we?
Mate.
How good.
Okay, first things first. There's some footage on Fox Sports of Kevin Walters watching Jonathan Thurston taking off his jersey at the end of the game, and Kevy is wincing at the thought of it. You saw Thursday after the game. How did that shoulder look?
Yeah, I actually interviewed him in the dressing sheds after the game, and he had no jersey on. He had a huge ice pack on the point of his shoulder. He's on a flight at 9:30 to back to Townsville, so I'm standing outside the Park Royal in Parramatta, and we're about to get the full question. He did speak to the media last night, and all he said was that he actually thinks the shoulder is going to be okay. It's not okay. We saw, obviously, the whole second half, he was carrying the shoulder, and one of the most courageous games of rugby league you'll ever see. Whether or not it's going to be right for game three, he won't be playing his 300th this weekend anyway, I can tell you that now. Like, everything was set for his 300th. The 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon game, but he won't be playing that. There's no chance. He just said he puts his faith in the medical staff up at the Cowboys, and we'll wait and see what happens from there.
Dobbo, can I check? He got a stinger on his right shoulder. Is that the bad one, or is the left one the bad one?
It's the right shoulder that's the bad one, mate. The right shoulder was the bad one,
Why are we all confused about that?
He was grabbing both.
Where the ice pack was.
Dobbo, what was the mood like in the sheds after the game? They didn't seem as jubilant. They looked happy, but they looked somewhat, I don't know what it was.
No. Contained.
No. When I got in there, it was 4X galore. It was all on, left, right and centre. They celebrated that one.
Plenty of yippee-yos?
I didn't hear any yippee-yos, but it's an amazing feeling, and it's one of the truly great things to go into an Origin dressing room after a victory. And I can tell you all the family and friends are in there, and there was lots of beer flowing. And the four debutants, I spoke to all four debutants last night, and they were just buzzing. Like Cohen Hess was talking about what an amazing thing it was. Jared Wallace was there, and he had his grandfather and his dad there with him, which was just an amazing thing for him. It was a really special night, and what a game of football it sets up for game three.
Did you talk to any of the Blues at all?
I spoke to Boyd Cordner on the field, and he was obviously very upset, but they'd be absolutely filthy. 16-6 at half time, and all the running, and for that to happen. The big thing for me was how emotional Billy Slater got. I interviewed him on the field last night. He started crying uncontrollably. I asked him a second question and he started crying uncontrollably and couldn't go on with the interview. And I spoke to him back in the sheds. Yeah, and he just said he just was overcome with grief about how hard it had been to get back onto the game. So that was an unbelievable story.
Stories, Dobbo. Any chance they'll bring Thaiday back and link him with Thurston for that last game? There's a fairy tale.
Well, we did hear on Robin's sit-down chats with Sam's wife about Rachel, about how important it was for him, and that's what he was hoping. If there was one weak link, and I don't want to call him a weak link.
Glasby, say it.
Tim Glasby, he just probably was a little bit behind the pace.
He was. Yep.
And if you thought about, well, you want some impact off the bench, you take Sam Thaiday, you take Tim Glasby. I think you take Sam Thaiday.
Tell
Glasby when he walks out of the Park Royal this morning to have a good look around. It'll be the last time.
No, he might be back, but I think for this third game, it's very important. Dobbo, we'll see you tonight. We'll hear you tonight on the Dobbo Show, the local drive show, and we will speak to you soon, buddy. Thanks for your time.
No dramas, guys.
When we look at things and we just say, oh, well, I can't do better than that. The mousetrap, the wheel, the barbecue. Line. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's so many barbecues on the market. You think, what more could they do? Well, this bloke we're about to talk to has revolutionised the whole world. Ryan Martin, creator of the Space Grill, describe what you have designed and built.
Okay, we've got the world's first wall-mounted full-size barbecue. So it's a three-burner barbecue that you mount to the wall, and when you want to use it, you fold it up, and when you don't want to use it, you fold it down. And the best thing about our barbecue is it actually catches all its fat. So there's plenty of fat on the grill after you use it. So when you fold it down, we've got a drip tray that pivots underneath it. I just pull off the drip tray, clean it out, put it back on, and it's nice and clean.
What about fat splatters As the person who's responsible for looking after the walls around the barbecue, I need to know.
Is it a grill or a plate or both?
No, it's both. It's both. It's a grill and a plate. And you can actually interchange them as well. So if you want a double grill, you can put another grill in there. So, it caters for everyone.
Talk to us about your background, Ryan, because this is a quite incredible invention, the Space Grill, spacegrill.com.au. Were you a child prodigy? Were you a Lego guy? What type of bloke were you that when you came up with this?
I think I was drunk at the time, but that's how the idea came. But no, I'm actually a plumber by trade, and the area that we were having a bit of a barbecue, and the table was too big for the area, and we thought, yeah, I mean, what does a barbecue need to be the feature of the backyard? So we thought, well, if you have something you can put on the wall, when you want it, you can fold it up. When you don't want it, you can just fold it back down.
Brilliant. How long ago did you design it?
Look, it's been a process of about 5 years. So the actual US patent itself took 4 years to get. So it actually took longer than I actually thought it was going to take.
Ryan, I've just Googled spacegrill.com.au, and you were the winner of the 2016 Good Design Award, yeah?
Yeah. So last year we entered in the Australian Good Design Award, which we won in our category. This year we actually sent it over to the selling in the UK now. So and an independent article took 14 barbecues around the world, and they did their own independent testing and write up on it, and we actually won that one as well. So
mate, it's a genuinely fantastic Aussie invention up there with the Hills hoist and other ideas like that. So congratulations.
How much?
Oh, look, they're not cheap. They're $13.99.
But they're stainless steel.
They're stainless steel. Even the knobs are stainless steel. Yeah. So it's not like, you know, you see the other barbecues, they say they're all stainless, but they're all low-grade stainless.
Yeah.
High-grade stainless. Everything's quality on it, and it's going to last a while. And the best part about it is, have you ever opened a barbecue up and, you know, the mice have been partying on the cooktop?
When
you're not there? Well, because when it folds and it sits in a vertical position, no mice or no rodents or nothing can get into it. So every time you close it, how you close it is how you open it up.
Ryan Martin, creator of the Space Grill, spacegrill.com.au, the world's first full-size fold-away three-burner barbecue. Congrats, mate.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
And a man that's gone, well, he's gone from legendary player now to spectator and broadcaster, which can be a tough transition, Corey Parker. Corey, what is it like to watch a game, having played so many of them?
Look, it was certainly a good feeling last night. 80,000 New South Wales fans, and I was right in the thick of it. And watching the way that Queensland were able to hang in there in such Queensland fashion and spirit, and come back with an almighty victory was certainly very pleasing.
Did you find the fans, New South Wales fans, sitting around you were giving it to you?
Oh, they were letting me know that they were going well and they were doing their job early. But look, I really enjoyed it. The experience of sitting in the stands, I was actually with Mick Innes, a good mate of mine, which is an experience in itself. So it was quite good to be able to sit there and see the passion that and the commitment that the fans have towards the game, because that's what it is. That's what State of Origin is all about. So
they pay their money.
It was a great finish.
Hey, Corey, most of us in here are pretty sort of seedy and tired, and so is a lot of Queensland, I'm presuming. And yet, what did you do this morning?
Yeah, I went for a run. Just went for a normal run down along Darling Harbour. I just got back, actually, and you'd be very, very surprised how good I felt floating along there after a Queensland victory. I actually saw a couple of stragglers from our crew that have come down on the Triple M jet, so it'll be an interesting ride home, or quite ride home for them. So
I was still walking back from the casino.
Well, they were walking back from somewhere. I'm not sure where, but they weren't looking so great.
Hey, Corey, now the chat is about Sam Thaiday for Game 3. Glasby was okay last night without being fantastic. Cooper was really good. Do you think there's a chance that Sammy could work his way back in to play his 30th game?
Oh, look, well, there's always a chance. When Sam got told that he wouldn't be a part of that Game 2, it was never the point where he won't play Origin again. To be very honest, I thought there were some outstanding performers there last night. And take nothing away from a guy by the name of Josh Jackson, who got the man of the match, and he's a terrific guy, but I have got absolutely no idea how Josh Jackson can get man of the match in a losing team when there were so many great performers for Queensland. Yeah. I thought the inclusion of Gavin Cooper
on the left-hand edge there for Queensland was fantastic for the stability of the team. I thought Dane Gagai was outstanding again. Some of the the efforts that he come up with, but the guys that we come to expect, Smith, Kronk, Slater, and the toughness that we saw from Jonathan Thurston just can't be underrated. So it was a collective group effort. I wouldn't imagine there'd be too many changes, if any, going into this third game. But I'll tell you what, the blowtorch goes back onto the Blue guys, because there was plenty of talk during the week that the stage was set for them to close that dynasty game out. And they were in front 16-6 with 10 minutes to go, and they let the game out. So it'll be interesting to see what starts to circle in the media front over the next week.
Can I just answer that question, why Josh Jackson gets that? Because they come to the judges, and they're normally commentators or people in the media, 10 minutes before the end of the game, and they say, give us your votes. You've got to vote early. And that's why they figured New South Wales were going to win. Let's give it to the person who dominated certainly the first half, and that's Josh Jackson. That's how that happens.
Well, I mean, that's a really good point you make there, Marto. And if that's the case, I mean, this is the biggest game on the stage. That is not how you're supposed to do it, particularly in an Origin match where we've seen many go down to the wire. So, and again, I take nothing away from Josh Jackson because he was outstanding for the Blues and they had a lot of those players themselves. But, that was sort of, and it's not the individual's fault, but it was certainly some of the administrators that need to have a look at themselves there.
Corey Parker, thanks so much for coming on the Triple M Jet. There'll be some stragglers starting to wander towards the lobby, I believe, on the way back. So, mate, thanks again, and we'll see you soon.
Anytime, guys. See you soon.